This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The mask mandate in Virginia schools has become optional when Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin made it an executive order. Some schools in Virginia are breaking the law by still demanding masks in their schools. The Virginia Senate Tuesday, in a bipartisan vote, backed Governor Youngkin's executive order. Loudoun County parent Clint Thomas has two daughters that were kicked out of school because of the masking issue. He tells Fox News the school districts will probably continue to break the law.
Yeah, we'll see. This school system, unfortunately, has proven to have a little bit of gall to stand up against the governor, and they've even misapplied the law here in Virginia, in my opinion, with SB 1303 or Chapter 456.
As Democrats want Americans to forget they were the party to defund the police, Democrat Representative Cori Bush from Missouri says she's not going to stop using the slogan defund the police ahead of this fall's midterms. Bush said during an hour-long conversation with reporters that she's sticking to her activist roots. USA Radio News.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Let's get an update on the Oxford, Michigan high school shooting back in late November.
15-year-old Ethan Crumbly is accused of killing four students at Oxford High School in Michigan on November 30th. On Tuesday, several witnesses took the stand in a preliminary hearing for his parents, James and Jennifer Crumbly. Multiple witnesses told the judge his mother, Jennifer, focused on horse riding as her son, Ethan, complained he was haunted by demons. The preliminary hearing resumes on February 24th. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
SpaceX is reporting a geomagnetic storm just doomed about 40 Starlink internet satellites. The storm increased the density of the atmosphere slightly, increasing drag on the satellites that will eventually send them back to Earth. Starlink's goal is to have 42,000 satellites orbiting Earth, providing low-cost internet service. SpaceX has been launching fleets of Starlink satellites, sometimes up to 60 at a time, since 2019. USA Radio News.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
As the mask mandate in schools debate rages on, Dr. and Senator Rand Paul, Republican from Kentucky, told Newsmax that Democrat governors are finally rolling back COVID-19 mask mandates despite objections from the Biden administration.
I don't think we should be surprised that the White House may be the last place to finally get some common sense, but I think Democrat governors are hearing from moms and dads and teachers and kids that, you know, the science doesn't appear to be working for, you know, mask preventing infection, and that they're tired of wearing it. So I think ultimately we're going to get to a groundswell, and I think the Democrat governors are starting to sense this. Probably the last place on the planet that will finally get some common sense that will be the White House. But I think we keep pressing, because otherwise it's really sad to see these kids being paraded around in cloth masks that don't work and being forced to hide behind masks and told that they're dangerous and they're going to die if they breathe air. None of that is true. The kids need to be out of the mask, and the sooner the better.
Dr. Paul says science does not back the mandates put in place.
You know, I think none of the things the government did really changed the trajectory of the virus. I do think that vaccination and natural immunity are slowing it down. Eventually, we'll have enough immunity and the virus will mutate, I guess, to a lesser and lesser lethality that we'll get to a point where we overcome this. And I think we're there.
Thanks for listening. My name is Lance Pry, and we are USA Radio News.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Independent. This is Bill Martinez.
Six minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us. And we've got the Director of Investigations and Research for Judicial Watch, Chris Farrell, back with us. Chris, haven't had a chance to talk to you this side of the new year, so let me say Happy New Year to you right off the bat.
Thank you, Bill. It's always good to be on your show and talk with you.
Well, appreciate the time. I want to talk specifically about this latest release here. Nancy Pelosi's Congress is claiming sovereign immunity in federal court to keep secret the January 6th videos and emails. Break that down for our audience, if you would.
I sure will. I think your audience is going to be infuriated by the time I get finished. So obviously there's all these videos from around Capitol Hill of the January 6th protests and everything that transpired. And, we went and sued in court. We requested first that they release all the video to the public so we could see what happened and who was doing what and, you know, get a full view. It's probably one of the most videoed places on earth, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And let's get all the facts out, and where people did bad things, let's make that clear, and where other more unusual things happened, let's see that as well. And get it out to the public. What's there to hide, right? It's a fact. It's all history.
Right.
Well, they came back. First of all, they denied our request, so we sued them in federal court to force the release of the information. The Capitol Police are the defendants in this case because they control the video cameras and the archive. So they wouldn't give it to us. And, of course, they're operating at the direction of Nancy Pelosi. This is not the Capitol Police making their own decisions. They're essentially serving now as her secret police force. There's been some really disturbing reporting even on Twitter recently about what the Capitol Police have been up to on Capitol Hill. But besides that, in this legal proceeding, they made three claims. Number one, the videos are not public records. They claim that they don't belong to the public.
On public property, which the Capitol
Correct.
Building is public property, public
Correct.
Has no... Okay, I just want to make sure that we're connecting that dot. Okay, all right, go ahead.
Right. Number one, they say they're not public records. Number two, they say that there's no public interest in what the videos show. Nobody's interested in it. Nobody cares. And then number three, they claim sovereign immunity, which means that they do not concede or they do not allow... that they be sued, that they are above litigation. They can't be held to account in a court of law. Sovereign immunity is something literally from the Middle Ages, under the theory that the king could do no wrong, and so the king, you couldn't sue the king. And
yes.
So they're saying that, look, we're the state, and we don't allow you to sue us.
Unbelievable. I mean, this is Vatican-like, isn't it?
The most stunning, obnoxious, really, they are disconnected from reality. They're, you know, And, of course, simultaneously, the great hypocrisy, the great irony in this, is simultaneously they've created this phony January 6th kangaroo court commission. Mm-hmm. And so they're supposedly anxious to get all the facts out, and they want to bring people to justice, and they want to tell everybody the truth, except they want to control what the truth is. They don't want all the videos released. They don't. They think you're either too stupid or, too twisted to be able to see what the videos themselves show, to what your eyeballs, your lying eyes,
yes, exactly.
You're allowed to see the video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're trying to control the narrative, no doubt. That's what they've done from day one on this, even trying to, not even trying, but calling it an insurrection. Unfortunately, the legacy media has joined ranks with them and have echoed the same thing. But then when you push up against this legacy media and you say, okay, if there was insurrection, why aren't people who have been charged for offenses on January 6th, how come there hasn't been one person charged with an insurrection?
Correct. You are correct. Not one.
And so, meanwhile, we've got supposedly 14,000 hours of video that's still in the vault, locked up, and being kept from the eyes of the American people, but yet we're supposed to believe whatever they finally decide, that this has been a fair and just hearing about what happened, all under the guise, and this drives me nuts, Chris, because they always say that this will never happen again. And you always find out that things are hidden from the people. I mean, I don't care if we're talking about the JFK assassination, all this stuff that turns the American people into conspirators, and they just love it when they can assign a tinfoil hat and invalidate our perspective. But the truth is the truth, and you can't deny it. I mean, it's insane to call it an insurrection, as you know, on its face, as as an attorney and with your legal background. But this is the narrative. It's the same kind of thing that they got in front of in 9/11. They wanted us to believe certain things that happened when our country was attacked. They controlled the narrative, and we fell victim and have made some mistakes along the way as a result of the narrative that they pushed on us.
I couldn't agree with you more. And the other part of the equation on this request that we're litigating is that there's also thousands and thousands of emails. And so I focus on the videos because I think it's the most compelling thing because, hey, anybody can watch a video and see what it means, right? It doesn't need a lot of explanation. This guy walked up and hit that guy. This police officer went over and opened this door or gate. It just speaks for itself, right? The videos are very plain and obvious, and anybody can watch them, and anybody can draw their own conclusions. But in conjunction with that, we also asked for all the emails between the Capitol Police and all the other players of the day, so Homeland Security, the Park Police, the Washington Metropolitan Police. We wanted to see all the communications back and forth about what was going on, what they knew, how they were prepared. When things started to get crazy, why didn't they call for backup? All the painfully obvious questions that a lot of people. Look, there's video of people running up to the police and saying, "Hey, look, those guys over there, they're trying to get in that door. Why don't you call for backup?" And the cops are standing around with their hands in their pockets doing nothing.
Exactly.
There's a lot of very controversial stuff. It is not this clean, crazy narrative that's been painted and is being pushed over and over again. It's a very controversial day with a lot of very controversial actions. We've seen the testimony of the executive assistant director of the FBI, a woman named Jill Sanborn. She's questioned very closely by Senator Ted Cruz. Mm-hmm. He asked her 10 or 12 very pointed questions about FBI involvement on January 6th, whether they had recruited confidential sources in the crowd, whether any FBI agents were in the crowd, whether any FBI agents or recruited sources performed any violent acts on that day. And you know what her response is over and over and over again, right?
She
can't answer the question.
Right. Well, you see, and this is the thing. When you have testimony like that that the public is viewing. Maybe she can answer that question behind closed doors in executive session. But meanwhile, the people are exposed to this, and it's obvious that they're blocking information here. And it makes them look bad and complicit in all this. We've got to go quick break. Let's pick it up on the other side. More from Chris Farrell after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. After 75 years of ministry, we marvel how God chose to use a small radio ministry in Pennsylvania to spread the gospel around the world. And we are grateful for the privilege to participate in God's grand scheme for His children. The Tide Diamond Vision propels us into the coming years. The ultimate and most important facet of that vision is glorify. We are committed to maintaining a God-honoring culture that encompasses all who engage with the Tide Ministry through encouragement, prayer, and financial support, including our board of directors, staff, volunteers, and ministry partners. We will continue to share ministry impact through communications that glorify God. Our events and functions will be structured to celebrate what God is doing and to worship Him. To learn more about the Tide Ministry's goal to glorify God by pointing people to Him and giving Him all the credit, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Chris Farrell from Judicial Watch continues with us. Chris, as we were saying before we went to break here, the FBI did not look good. I mean, she looked so incompetent with what was going on. And meanwhile, that's in the face of narratives and anecdotal information, even testimony from people that were there that said, look, we saw people dress, you know, change clothes into MAGA gear. And, you know, that seemed rather odd. There were people clearly trying to rebel rouse. And, in fact, you see them at one point pointing to this one individual who's kind of been missing in action since, and we've not heard anything, while anybody else has been locked up in solitary confinement in the D.C. jail. And the crowd, as you remember from that footage, were yelling, you know, Fed, Fed, Fed. And so you have these different snapshots of January the 6th, where, yes, there looked like there was a conflict and there was some violence going on in one portion with Capitol Police. Other portions where Capitol Police were basically calling people, yeah, come on in, you know.
like
you don't have to worry about getting up.
It really was?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, self-guided tour. It was ridiculous. I was watching this. I'm going, they're like on a self-guided tour. This isn't like Black Lives Matter. If Black Lives Matter would have got into the interior and Antifa gotten into the interior of the Capitol building, they would be pulling down statues. They'd be wreaking havoc and all kinds of destruction. These were everyday citizens who made a wrong decision, answered the call, and went in out of curiosity and not even realizing what they were about to be charged with. Now, there were some people that were smart enough, Chris. They've been around D.C. enough that they saw, whoa, this is a trap. But unfortunately, of the million plus people that were there, and I think you only had maybe, maybe 100,000, a couple hundred thousand around the Capitol building, there were some people just didn't know better.
That is correct. There's a lot of just sort of unwitting dupes, really, folks that just showed up because, you know, they didn't know any better. They didn't have any malicious intent. They just saw people moving in a certain direction, and they said, hey, let's go check it out. Come on. And they walked over in that direction. That doesn't mean that they're criminals or monsters or anything else. It just means that they, you know, wrong time, wrong place kind of thing.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's a lot of creepy stuff. I mean, let me give you one example of something that makes people's eyebrows pop up the minute they hear it. So in October, so the election, obviously, well, the protest is January 6th. The election was November. You go back a month earlier in October, and the Washington field office of the FBI gets a new, they don't call that agent a special agent in charge. They call him a deputy assistant director of the FBI. He's kind of like a super special agent in charge. Hmm. The guy who takes charge of the Washington office comes from Detroit. And his name is D'Antuono. It's D and then capital A-N-T-U-O-N-O. Mm-hmm. And so the new guy who takes over Washington in October had come from Detroit. Well, guess what his last big operation was in Detroit before coming to Washington, D.C.? It was something called the Wolverine Watchman. And you may remember that there was a plot, supposedly, to kidnap Governor Whitmer in Michigan. And it was supposed to be a crazy militia group, and they were bad guys, and they had a scheme. And then, well, you know, there's 14 defendants in that case. Do you know that the FBI running that case out in Michigan, that they had 12 recruited informants and two FBI agents assigned to be able to prosecute and arrest the 14 defendants? So what that means is that basically half the plot was conducted by the FBI, right? 12 recruited assets and two agents in order to net 14 bad guys.
How is that not entrapment, Chris?
Exactly.
Can I say that?
There's been some excellent reporting on this by a reporter, a guy named Ken Silva, S-A-L-V-A, at the Epoch Times. In fact, I've interviewed him as well to get more background information on this case. He's followed it very carefully. He's been to hearings. He has a lot of direct knowledge of what's been going on. And this case out in Michigan, some would say, might almost be a blueprint or sort of a smaller kind of, you know, practice round.
Exactly.
For what may have happened on January 6th. And I think it's very curious that the agent who ran the operation in Michigan, leaves in October, comes to Washington, and then there's some very curious activity in Washington at the same time.
Exactly. Well, and there is reports, you know, from insiders, you know, people that were in the room with Donald Trump throughout, and there's documented emails, and I don't know how much of that is able to come out because of executive privilege, but it's been testified that, you know, Donald Trump, well, first of all, as you go into the lead up, there was information. There's no way the FBI, there's no way Capitol Police did not know that there was going to be a number of people coming to D.C. That was quite obvious as to what's going on. And for them to act surprised, or Nancy Pelosi to say that they were surprised and overwhelmed unexpectedly, I mean, it really speaks of her lack of leadership, and that this had to be, you know, the fix was in on this deal. In the spirit of, you know, the Democratic Party that will not let any good crisis go to waste, they're milking this for everything they can get because they want to do the ultimate invalidation of Donald Trump. As if two impeachment, you know, bogus impeachment trials weren't enough, now we're going to charge him with insurrection when you've got, in order to get there, you've got to ignore the complacency of the leader of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who is responsible for the Capitol Police and the protection of the building, and she was MIA.
You are correct. And it goes downhill from there, frankly.
Mm-hmm. So what's our takeaway on this, Chris? I mean, how can we have any confidence that this January 6th hearing has any validity? It's going to do anything to really ensure that this, in their words, doesn't happen again?
Yeah, and it doesn't. That's just it. I mean, this is a kangaroo court kind of operation, and I don't believe it has wide public support or any sort of confidence. I think a lot of people are very frustrated that it's even conducting the business the way that it is. Mm-hmm. I also think that this is a case where some of the activities of the commission itself are unlawful. That there's a the way in which they've obtained information. They've basically issued their own warrants, and they've sent out letters to, you know, basically warrantless searches. Mm-hmm. Where they've gone to banks, where they've gone to the telephone company and demanded the records of private persons without exercising normal legal process, and just say that they're doing it on their own authority. Mm-hmm. It is a very aggressive, and I think unlawful way of them even conducting their business. So
exactly.
It doesn't engender a lot of confidence, and I think the American public is deeply suspicious of it.
Well, not to mention that they ignored the leadership of the minority party and would not put the people that the leader wanted on the committee, and ended up with two others that probably have killed their political careers, possibly. What do you think? We got about a minute left.
Yeah, I mean, any sort of goodwill or benefit of the doubt kind of, in order to do these things, you have to at least pretend that you're going along by the rules, that you're trying to have an equal, even-handed process. You can't just ram it through solo. Well, I guess you can, but it doesn't do a lot for the public's belief or trust in what it is that you're doing. And so, this is the kind of stuff, again, you've mentioned it earlier, it actually sows mistrust. It creates a feeling of separation between the government and the people. It makes people think that they're being taken advantage of or being lied to. And it actually contributes to the sort of conspiracy theory stuff. It
yes,
makes people
exactly.
crazy. It makes them very frustrated.
Well, we got to leave it there, Chris. As always, appreciate the time. Chris Farrell, Judicial Watch's Director of Investigations and Research. Thank you. Take care, my friend.
And now an important message from Exergen. A critical new FDA study proves that non-contact thermometers are not accurate. They also have inaccurate information on their labels regarding accuracy. New COVID strains are on the rise, and non-contact manufacturers are being irresponsible at a time when accuracy matters. Accurate temperature measurements are essential. Switch to Exergen because they are accurate and backed by over 100 clinical studies. Be sure, be accurate with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Water stains on the shower glass. Try rubbing some shaving cream on.
Tyler's cleaning crew knows every housekeeping trick in the book.
Handling timesheets now.
But they need a proper bookkeeper to keep finances tidy.
New equipment is a business expense, right?
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The mask mandate in Virginia schools has become optional when Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin made it an executive order. Some schools in Virginia are breaking the law by still demanding masks in their schools. The Virginia Senate Tuesday, in a bipartisan vote, backed Governor Youngkin's executive order. Loudoun County parent Clint Thomas has two daughters that were kicked out of school because of the masking issue. He tells Fox News the school districts will probably continue to break the law.
Yeah, we'll see. This school system, unfortunately, has proven to have a little bit of gall to stand up against the governor, and they've even mystified the law here in Virginia, in my opinion, with SB 1303 or Chapter 456.
As Democrats want Americans to forget they were the party to defund the police, Democrat Representative Cori Bush from Missouri says she's not going to stop using the slogan defund the police ahead of this fall's midterms. Bush said during an hour-long conversation with reporters that she's sticking to her activist roots. USA Radio News.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Back to America, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. That's where you want to go. Hey, we've been long waiting for this coming weekend, right? Most of us are going to be watching the National Football League as they crown a new champion this Sunday. But what we won't see is the technology being used by first responders to keep everyone in and around the big game safe. Now, here to give us behind-the-scenes look at how technology will impact public safety at the big game and beyond are two of the nation's top public safety and technology experts. Former Tampa Police Chief Brian Dugan, who was on firsthand a big game experience as the man responsible for security efforts at last year's Super Bowl, and Verizon's Jennifer Cronus, who leads a team of experts that develop and deliver advanced technology and solutions to help first responders. Jennifer and Brian, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. How are you?
Good. Good morning. Thanks for having us. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, good morning to you.
Well, Chief, as a fellow Floridian, proud to have you on the show here, and I want to ask you, what are some of the key factors you think about when law enforcement is planning for an event like this?
You know, Bill, when we start these things, these events, especially the Super Bowl, we start planning 2 years out. I don't think a lot of people realize that. We did attend the game in Atlanta and the game in Miami last year, and you start your meetings very early, and, you know, it's the same thing that they did out here. Back when Tampa was the host of the big game, the main concern I had was maintaining communications on the network, no matter how much traffic was on it. And that's why reliability is so important. Very important our first responders have the priority access to the network so that we're able to communicate with each other. And the Verizon Frontline team is an essential part of that partnership.
Well, Jennifer, can you talk a little bit about some of the cool public safety technology innovations that you're showing off in L.A. this week?
Sure, Bill. Yeah, well, first of all, I'm really excited to be out here in L.A. this week at the Verizon Frontline Command Center with Chief Dugan. And one of the things that we're showing off, unfortunately you can't see it, is this really cool vehicle that we call THOR. And THOR stands for Tactical Humanitarian Operations Response. And it's kind of like a Swiss Army knife on wheels. It's got its own 5G ultra-wideband network. It's like a cell tower on wheels. It's capable of deploying the full range of Verizon frontline solutions, including its own drone. It's built on a Ford F-650 chassis, so it's got room for 9 engineers and first responders to roll out on a crisis. And, you know, for Verizon frontline, THOR really represents a totally new frontier for first responders because it's this network, 5G-enabled network, to help them stay connected in the most challenging situations.
Chief, do they let you get behind the wheel? And, you know, I think the only thing that's missing is probably the hovering capability out of this new vehicle, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm still working on getting behind the wheel on that thing.
Jennifer's not willing to give up the keys that easy, huh?
No, definitely not. It takes some special training.
That just sounds so awesome. Are we going to get a chance to see it during the game, or is this just something we get to talk about and let people's imaginations take over?
Well, you know, it's going to be positioned here at the Verizon Frontline Command Center for the next few days. So if you have any of your fans who are going to be out in L.A., we're showing it to anybody who's here, and it'll be ready to deploy for whatever it might need to during the Super Bowl event.
That is awesome. I cannot wait to see it a lot closer. I'm not going to be on the West Coast, though. That's where I was born and raised and spent many a time in the area there. But for our listeners out there, that'll be a big treat to check out THOR for themselves. What kinds of technology preparation and investment go into large-scale events like this big game this weekend?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really exciting, Bill. As Brian said, we actually started preparing for the Super Bowl more than 2 years ago. So back when the Super Bowl was in Miami in 2020, we started working on our network to ensure that the technology was ready to handle the increased traffic from first responders, from the fans at SoFi Stadium, and the citizens here in the L.A. community. And what's really amazing is Verizon has invested over $119 million in our network in and around SoFi Stadium, to ensure that everyone at the Super Bowl, including our public safety community, has priority access to the network and a reliable connection. And so long after we're gone and the Super Bowl is over, the L.A. community will continue to benefit from that investment. So it's really exciting.
Well, Chief Dugan, as you were saying, comms is so important and critical. Give people an idea, I mean, the capacity. I mean, how many people are we talking about, you know, coming to the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, there's thousands in the stadium, as you're aware of, and then there's thousands outside of the stadium, and then you have so many events that are spread throughout the city. You know, our experience last year in Super Bowl 55, and I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but Tampa did win that game. We had a guy named Tom Brady as our quarterback.
Yes. Yeah, I barely remember that, Chief.
But you know, with the Verizon Frontline Command Center does is it allows us. It's basically the nerve center of ensuring reliable connection for the first responders and the fans and everyone in the area of the SoFi Stadium. And it's very important. And what this command center does is it's staffed 24/7 by technicians and engineers, and they'll be on the job until the clock runs out. But what it really does, it gives them the ability to use a football term. They're able to call an audible and do something on the fly. And if they have any, you know, issues as far as getting people around, they're able to make that call and they can deploy assets anytime they need to.
Well, we're talking with Chief Brian Dugan and Jennifer Cronus with Verizon. The Super Bowl, so much happening behind the scenes that we won't get a chance necessarily to see or experience. And hopefully that's the way it conducts itself, right, Chief, is that you're there to keep your eyes on the situation, prepared to respond if necessary. But we pray and hope that everybody is safe and they enjoy a wonderful Super Bowl experience, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, like I say, when I talk about issues, I had someone try to give you a rain onto the field last year, and thank God we've had good communication and that stable network and the reliability of everything.
Exactly. Well, Jennifer, let's unpack a little bit more the type of investment in technology that SIZE can do to, you know, keep people safe.
Yeah, well, you know, Verizon Frontline is just a great example. And Verizon Frontline and our 5G ultra-wideband network are really positioned at this point to transform public safety technologies. So when you think about everything from reliable and secure critical communications to virtual reality and AI and drones, Verizon Frontline and 5G will really enable life-saving capabilities to empower those who protect and serve our communities. And one of the things that we're doing is we have a 5G first responders lab where we're working with a number of technology companies to build new solutions like connected ambulances to transmit patient data in real time, and search and rescue drones to reach remote areas that vehicles can't, and intelligent video with high definition for greater situational awareness. And we're really just beginning. It's just kind of scratching the surface. So it's exciting what the possibilities are for our public safety community.
Well, we got about a minute and a half left. One final question for you, Jennifer, is what else can we expect in terms of new tech for public safety agencies?
Yeah, well, you know, we are, as I said, the 5G First Responders Lab is really an amazing capability where we're working with so many different technology companies to just kind of really reimagine what we can do for the public safety community. And, you know, the intelligent video is a great example, artificial intelligence, drones, connected patient care, so that we can get care to critical patients as quickly as possible. We are really, really excited about the power of 5G and particularly the power of 5G for our public safety community.
Exactly. Well, Chief, two final questions. I'm going to let you close this out. Number one, your word of encouragement to the fans and people there at the game, around the game, how they can comport and conduct themselves so it's enjoyable for everybody, and where can the folks go for more information?
You know, I think the big word is about personal responsibility. Conduct yourself and respect others, and if they do that, you know, everything will be fine. As far as the Verizon Frontline, they just have to go to Verizon.com/frontline. They'll have all the answers there.
Well, Verizon's Jennifer Cronus, who leads a team of experts to develop and deliver advanced technology solutions to help first responders, and also the former Tampa Police Chief, Brian Dugan. He was there for the last Super Bowl in Tampa, which he reminds us, like we need to be reminded, that it was the Bucks and Tom Brady that held up the big trophy and made everybody proud here in Florida. Verizon, you know, a great showcase for all your technology and this advancement that you're doing on behalf of public safety. Thank you so much.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Want to pay off your 30-year mortgage in half the time? Network Capital is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 2.375% with a 2.59 APR. Start off your new year with a lower rate and half the payments. If you're looking to lower your interest rate, pay your home off sooner, or pull out some cash, don't miss this opportunity. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again with rates this low. Our 15-year fixed rate is 2.375% with a 2.59 APR. It's not often to get such an amazing second chance to refinance and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed at 2.375%. Yes, 2.375% with a 2.59 APR. Network Capital has experts standing by right now to help. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 11712. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the Financing Law. Number 603-787. An Equal Opportunity Lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available at rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
We're back with you, America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us. It's also great to have our next two guests that we're going to be talking about evolution and God's creation with. We've got Dr. Deborah Harsma and Dr. Francis Collins. And it's a privilege to have both of you on with us today. Great to have you here.
Glad to be with you, Bill.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Bill.
Okay, Dr. Harsma, let's start with you. Tell us about the project and, you know, what the mission is here.
Yes, so at BioLogos, we bring together grace-centered faith with rigorous science. Now, most people today think that these things are just totally opposite. Scientists can't be Christians. Christians need to reject science. But at BioLogos, we really believe these can work together in harmony. And our new curriculum project helps parents and teachers and students work through this. So we have lots of examples. We address a lot of different questions at the intersection of science and faith. But we want to equip the next generation to be able to have better conversations, to be faithful and informed leaders on these topics.
Exactly. Well, according to a Barna study, researchers have found that current faith trends found that only 28% of all teens believe science and the Bible are complementary. Dr. Collins, I'm so pleased to have you on the show. There's so many things we can talk about because you've been such the face of COVID for the last 2.5 years. And to have you here to talk about the Bible and science being complementary, I think this might change people's understanding and perception of who Dr. Collins is.
Well, I am a person of faith. I'm a follower of Jesus. And as you said, I've also had the privilege of leading the National Institutes of Health during the worst pandemic in more than a century caused by COVID. And I don't see any conflict at all between the abilities of science to understand how nature works. I think that's a gift from God. But also the opportunity to use the tools of faith to help us answer other really important questions like, why am I here? And is there a God? What's the meaning of life? What happens after we die? Science can't answer those questions. This integrated curriculum that Dr. Harsman's talking about for young people aims to address that 28% that you just mentioned who don't think science and faith can be harmonious by providing all kinds of ways in which they are, in fact, that. opportunity to learn about creation. It's all God's creation. And there need not be this sense that there's a conflict between what the Bible says and what you learn in the laboratory. I've not seen that sense now in more than 40 years as a Christian who's been right on the front lines of science.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Deborah Harshman serves as president of Biologos, frequent speaker on science and Christian faith. Dr. Harshman, look, we've had this debate, as Dr. Collins said, for decades about faith and science. And you would think at some point the flag would be thrown out, the flag of surrender would be thrown out because, you know, God keeps winning these arguments.
Yeah. Why do we keep having these debates? It seems like the issues change over time. It used to be evolution, creation was the big issue. It still is for a lot of people. But now we're also talking about COVID. We're talking about the environment and climate change. I think God wins in the end because we're studying here God's word and God's world. And so they're both from God. And if we understand them together, we're going to have a richer understanding of who God is.
Well, Dr. Collins, I got to imagine, you know, with each discovery, it just solidifies your faith all the more, right? Go ahead.
Yes. I'm glad you bring it up that way. For a scientist who's also a Christian, a discovery about something important about how life works and how to prevent diseases, that's both an exciting scientific development, but it's also an answer to prayer. It's also a glimpse of God's mind. It's an opportunity to have your awe at the creation increased even further. I think I can say that I've had religious experiences in the laboratory, not just in the cathedral, because of this opportunity to see it as all God's work.
And Dr. Harshman, as a theologian, I mean, science or a theologian, you know, God says, sit down, let's reason together. Ask me questions, right? He's not threatened by our questions.
That is so true. God invites our questions. And you see it all through Scripture. People are talking back to God. And we really want to encourage young people to do that. This integrate curriculum is all structured around questions students are asking. And we encourage students to bring their toughest questions to this. And in the curriculum, we're teaching them not just what to think, but how to think and how to have conversations around those. The curriculum is just excellent quality. There's so many people who contributed to it to ensure that it has the most rigorous science, as well as being theologically sound and pastorally sensitive.
Well, the topics, Dr. Collins, that you're addressing here, I mean, we touched on evolution and God's creation. Faith and science, got to be a lot of fun for you.
It is. That's where I live. That's part of who I am. And people somehow imagine I must have to draw a big wall in between those or they might collide with each other. No, I want them to collide in every possible way. You know, Bill, I get emails probably once a week from somebody who's raised in a Christian home with Christian homeschooling or maybe in a Christian high school. They haven't really been exposed to what we know from the scientific excavations of how the world got started and what's the nature of human beings. And they end up in university and they see the data that supports the age of the earth. And it's not 6,000 years. It's more like 4.55 billion years. And they're thrown into a crisis because they begin to wonder, was anything I learned in Sunday school trustworthy? If this part clearly doesn't add up, we want to try to prevent that unnecessary tragedy. That's what the integrate curriculum will do, is to give a chance for Christian homeschoolers and Christian high schools to have well-validated scientific information that's entirely compatible with Christ-centered faith.
And associated with that topic, if we can stay with you for just a second, hear more, Dr. Collins, is science as a Christian vocation.
Thank you for that, too, because I worry, Bill, that we have a whole nother generation of talent that's being raised in a Christian home and is excited about science, and they're afraid. If I kind of go into science, I might be putting my faith in some kind of threatening situation, and so they'll say, no, I guess I'll go and do something else. I'll be a banker or a lawyer, and we need those, too. But science is at this incredibly exciting juncture, and we need the best and brightest talent to come and be part of this. And we're going to figure out things like Alzheimer's disease and cancer and diabetes. But if we lose that whole generation because they're afraid it's going to threaten their faith, then we've all lost.
I'll tell you, this is really exciting. I'll tell you, it's such an honor to be talking with Dr. Francis Collins, who led the Human Genome Project before serving as director of the National Institute of Health for 12 years under three presidents, and Dr. Deborah Harshman, who serves as president of Biologos and is a frequent speaker on science and the Christian faith. Dr. Harzma, let's talk about genetic diversity and human dignity, one of the topics. This is so key right now. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. So we want, there's units in the curriculum that walk students through how do we interact with, say, those who have Down syndrome? How do we see them as made in God's image, as contributing to our society and to our churches? They walk students through how to think about genetic differences in different races and ethnicities. Some of these are really difficult, sensitive questions, but so much better for students to be wrestling with them with a Christian teacher, with their parents, now while they're in high school, before they go out and listen to all the other voices in the world. Sometimes it's hard to broach those questions, but the integrated curriculum comes alongside parents and teachers with the best science to really walk them through these things.
Mm-hmm. Let's stay with you, Dr. Harzma, for another question here that I believe would be right in your wheelhouse, and that's Bible interpretation and science.
Yeah. Oh, this was really important for me personally. I grew up in an evangelical church, and I always loved science, and I was encouraged to study science. But our church also believed the earth was young, and I loved the Bible, and I didn't want to just give that up. But I was interested in astronomy, which talks about a universe billions of years old. Mm-hmm. How am I going to work through that? And it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I was able to sit down and really think this out and found the resources. The integrated curriculum I wish I had when I was in high school. It would have helped me pursue my career with joy and not question my faith and just get so much more out of the Bible.
I can definitely appreciate that. I feel the same way as you do in terms of having integrate. For me, a series that was life-changing was The Truth Project with Dr. Del Tackett and Focus on the Family that you might be familiar with. And, you know, some of the study items that you're touching here remind me of that series, which I believe was extremely provocative and timely as well. Dr. Collins, we touched a little bit on this, but I want you to unpack this a little bit more, and that's climate change and our commission.
Well, that's a really good point to bring up, and obviously Christians are trying to understand what role should we play, what is our responsibility as stewards of this planet that God has given us. If we're supposed to have dominion, what does that mean? Does that mean we can just sort of let whatever happens happen and not worry about it? Or are we sharing some responsibility for taking care of our planet? I think particularly young Christians are now coming around very strongly to the perspective that we do have some things we need to do here. There's no question the planet is in some trouble. The scientists from every perspective will tell you that, and that human activity is a big part of that. Although there are still people who don't quite buy that. If you look at the data, it's extremely compelling. So I do think Christians maybe can be in the lead here. We are, in fact, in a circumstance of having particularly deep respect for God's creation. It's a gift to us. So let's see what we can do to try to be sure we care for that in a fashion that is not just good for the planet, but it's good for the people in the planet, too, because otherwise we're not loving our neighbors the way we're called to.
Well, as my kids say, just do what God says. I mean, what does God say when he puts us in charge to steward the resources and the blessing that he's given us, right?
Right. If you were put in charge of your children and decided, well, it's their problem, that doesn't sound quite right. So yeah. God has put us in charge of the planet. I think we're supposed to take that seriously.
Well, thank you both. God bless. Appreciate the time. Take care.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.